Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to the 24th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. Now today, I have a very, very special guest on the line. His name is Noah St. John. He is known as the Power Habits Mentor and is a best-selling author of the book of Affirmations published by Hay House. That's Affirmations, not Affirmations. And we're going to go into that in just a moment. Noah is the author of 10 books that have been translated into 12 languages. He is passionate about helping people have more time freedom, personal freedom, and financial freedom. And he's also on a mission to help 10,000 small business owners double their performance and profits. He delivers online programs and live events that his coaching clients call the secret sauce for business and personal growth. He also appears in the news worldwide, including ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, Fox News, the Hallmark Channel, Parade Magazine, Los Angeles Business Journal, Forbes, and the Huffington Post. Wow. Noah, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. I'm truly excited and thrilled to be here today with you.
Wow, thank you. Now, I met you online probably about March or so last year, and I've been watching you ever since. And obviously, in the run-up to the show, I've been watching some of your YouTube videos and really getting a feel for what it is that you do and how it is you help people. And I have to say, I'm absolutely fascinated.
Oh,
and I'm sure we're going to dive into some real nuggets for our listeners here today. so I'd just like to start, really, as I do, because I love to hear people's personal stories. And I'd just like to delve into how you got to be where you are today. So if you could take us just on a little journey of your life, perhaps some of the challenges you've had to overcome, and just give us an overview of where you are today and where you've come from. That would be a great start. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Amy. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got started. I had very humble beginnings. I didn't have anything fancy or anything like that. In fact, I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood, and I know that sounds funny to some people, but I grew up in this little town called Kennebunkport, Maine, which just happens to be one of the wealthiest communities in New England, but my family was dirt poor. I mean that literally. We lived at the bottom of a dirt road in a drafty, unfinished house that my father actually ended up losing to foreclosure because he just couldn't make any money. He never figured it out. So what was really weird was growing up in that environment of lack and poverty and fear and worry, which is, you know, what I grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And, you hear those stories, you hear people say all the time, oh, well, we were poor, but we didn't know we were poor. We freaking knew we were poor because our mother reminded us every single day that we were poor. And
wow.
So it wasn't a happy childhood at all. And so my point is that the weird part about it was all around me, I saw this great wealth and abundance because it was just, there's lots of rich people that live there in that community for some reason. And how we ended up there, I'll never know. But anyway, that's what happened. And so I was like, this doesn't make any sense. How come these people across the street, you know, have all this stuff and money and wealth, abundance, and they seem happy, and my family is working really hard and they're miserable and broke and poor. And so
wow.
I didn't get that. And so I went on this long journey to try to find the answer to that question. What really causes success? And I knew it wasn't hard work because my father worked really hard and my mother, but they just could never get ahead. So I started reading. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't have a mentor, a coach, a teacher, or anything like that. So I just went to the library. I'm a nerd. I'm a bookworm. I like reading books. My idea of exciting time is to curl up with a nice book and just to read and go to the library. So my point is that I went to the library and just read all these books on self-help, personal growth, spiritual growth, Dale Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, Stephen Covey, all the classics. And I just started to, you know, try to put some things together. And you know, I really enjoyed reading these books. The problem was I read them for a long time and tried to put them into action. And then fast forward many years later, I was 30 years old. I was a 30-year-old college student. I had no money. I was divorced by this time. And I'm like, what is going on here? I've been reading all these books, trying to do everything they said, and I'm not successful. In fact, I'm still broke. I'm still frustrated. And, you know, I don't understand what's going on here. So I was so frustrated. And I started thinking about, you know, what all these books told me. And I said, what is the one thing they all say? They all say to use this thing called affirmations. So an mm-hmm. affirmation, and I'll never forget this because I was sitting there in my little dorm room, you know, which was so tiny that if you stood in the middle of the room and put your arms out to both sides, you could touch the walls on both sides. That's how small this place was. All my worldly possessions in this tiny little room. And I said, you know, I looked around. There's all these little pieces of paper on the wall that I'd written all these affirmations on. I'm happy. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I'm successful. The problem was I was none of those things. I was miserable and broken and unhappy. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is even worse now, because it's one thing if you don't have the thing you want, you're not trying. I was trying for years and years. I still didn't have the thing. That's 10 times worse.
Wow.
Oh, man, this sucks. So I'm going, what is going on here? And so I was even more frustrated now. So, you know, I remember this very vividly. And so I went to bed that night, very upset, frustrated, got up the next morning, got in the shower like any other morning. Now, I'm sure we've all had the experience. Amy, I'm sure you've had this experience, and everybody listening. You ever had those aha moments in the shower? You get those great ideas in the shower?
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that's happened, right?
Yeah.
So on this particular morning, it was April 1997. I write about it in my book.
Wow.
I call it the shower that changed everything.
Yeah.
Because in this particular shower, I was thinking about all these things I just said to you, and I said, what is going on here? There's got to be something they're not telling us. There's got to be another way. There's got to be a better way. But what is it? I couldn't think of what it could be. And so I said, well, let's see. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about beliefs, right? Because when we want to change our life, we've got to change our beliefs. I knew that part had to be true. That had to be right? Because, you know, I grew up, like I said, I grew up poor, but, you know, there's people who aren't poor. And what's one of the differences? Your beliefs. Okay, so I knew that part was right.
Right, yeah.
But what is a belief? What's a belief? What is that? And I said, well, when you think about it, a belief is just a thought, right? It's a thought that you think. I said,
mm-hmm.
okay, but what is thought? And I said, oh, that's an interesting question. What is human thought? And the more that I thought about that question, I realized that human thought is the process of asking and searching for answers to questions. Not statements, but questions. Let me give you an example, and I play this game, Amy, and you could play along with me. I play at my live events, my seminars, mastermind programs. What I do is I have everyone stand up, and I say, all right, now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to see what happens, right? All right, so I'm going to ask you this question, Amy, and you see what happens. Ready? Why is the sky blue? Why is the sky blue?
Because it's blue.
Well, there you go. Now, look what just happened in your brain. What just happened in your brain? When I asked you a question, what immediately happened in your brain?
I looked for the answer.
Exactly.
Wow.
You started to search for the answer. Now, notice you couldn't not do that. You literally couldn't help it. It happened without your own volition, right? It's not like you forced yourself. In fact, you couldn't not do it. So
yeah.
I said, now, wait a second. If the human mind is automatically searching for answers to questions, why are we going around making statements that we don't believe? Because the problem isn't the statement. The problem is we don't believe the statement. right? So here's another game that I like to play. So I do this with my audiences at my seminars. I say, all right, everybody stand up. Now we're going to try this other game, another game. I love playing games, so I said, right? I said, okay, we're all going to say an affirmation. Ready? And everybody say, I am rich. Everybody goes, I am rich. And you know what happens next? Everybody starts laughing. I go, what are you laughing at? Well, they go, because I'm not rich. I said, but you just said you were. Yeah, but I'm not. But you just said it. Yeah, but I don't believe it. Aha, said I. Right? Because you can repeat this 1,000,000,000,000,000 gazillion times, right? What do traditional success teachers tell us to do, Amy? Don't they say, well, you say the affirmation, and then you repeat it 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Everybody's tried it, and there's millions of people like me who were very frustrated by it. Of course, it's worked for many people. I mean, many people have had great results from using affirmations. And yet, there's tens of millions of us that are frustrated beyond belief by this stupid thing. It's like, how come it didn't work for me? And I realized in that moment, I said, now, wait a second. We're talking about beliefs. A belief is a thought. Human thought is the process of asking and searching for answers to questions. Your brain can't not do it. So I said, why are we walking around making statements we don't believe when the human mind automatically searches for answers to questions? And I couldn't think of a good answer to that question. So I said, well, there's got to be a better way. And I said, well, what could it be?
Wow.
Well, let's see. You take the statement, I am rich. This is just a classic affirmation. You can substitute anything you want.
Yep.
Right? I am happy, I am successful, whatever. All those ones that I was using, right? I was using all of them. And I was none of them. And so I said, well, wait a second. What if instead of saying, I am rich, to which your brain says, yeah, right, right? That's in the book. I call it the yeah, right response. That's what your brain says. Yeah, right.
I know. Well,
right?
Yeah.
And that's why everybody laughs. They laugh because your brain's going, yeah, right. Come on, dude. That's not true. You're lying.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, the traditional teachers said, well, just keep lying to yourself. Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, like I said, for some it works fine, for millions it doesn't. So all I'm saying here is I was in the shower and I'm thinking about this. I said, well, wait a second. If that's a statement that we don't believe, what would the question be? Why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, I also, at my seminars, I have everybody say that. Why am I so rich? Now, what happens in your brain, and Amy, I'll just ask you to play along since I'm talking to you. What happens in your brain when you ask that question?
Why am I so rich? Well, then I would start looking for the places in my life where I am rich.
Aha! So you're searching for the answer to the question. So I said, now, wait a second. What we're talking about here is the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. But what are we sowing? We're sowing seeds of thought. But what are most people doing? Sowing lousy thought seeds. Why am I so fat? Why am I so stupid? Why am I so broke? Why can't I make more money? Why does nobody love me? Why can't I get a date on Saturday night? Why is there more months left at the end of the money? Right? You ask lousy questions, and what do you get?
Lousy answers.
Lousy answers, exactly. And that creates a lousy life. So I said, wait a second. What if instead of asking lousy questions that lead to lousy answers and create a lousy life, what if we just flip the whole thing on its head and start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life? And as I was standing there in the shower, April 1997, I said, holy cow, I think I just invented something. And so I jumped out of the shower and I said, I got to give this a name. And so I sat down on my computer and said, what do I name this thing? I said, it's got to be affirmations. Now, how did I come up with that word?
Yeah.
How did I come up with that word? Do we have to go to a break or anything? Cause I
No, carry on.
Okay, because I can get on a roll here, and I don't want to, if we got to go to a break, I'll stop.
No, I'll guide
but,
you.
Okay, because I said, now, as a nerd, one of my favorite subjects in school was Latin. We nerds just love Latin, at least me, nerd does.
Latin.
And so I said, the word affirmation comes from the Latin word firmare, which means to make firm. Now, the word affirmation that I invented, and I actually own that word, I trademarked that word. So my point is the word affirmations And by the way, it's perfectly legitimate to invent a new word. When you have a new way of looking at the universe or a new technology, isn't it true? We often need a new word to describe it. For example, webinar, Google, Facebook, YouTube. These are all new technologies, right, and new platforms. And so we needed a new word. Well, what I'm teaching here and what I share in my book is a new technology of the mind, a new technology of the mind. So our formations comes from the Latin word formare, F-O-R-M-A-R-E, formare, which means to form or give shape to. So what I often ask my seminar audiences is, and my mastermind students, and, you know, my coaching clients, I say to them, what if you're making something firm, but you're in the wrong form? That means forming a life you didn't want. Why am I so broke? Why am I so fat? Why can't I make more money? Why does nobody love me? Why can't I get a date on Saturday night? You formed it. It became firm, and now there's your life. Now, using affirmations, for the first time in human history, now we can take conscious control of the questions we're asking, change the questions, and change your life.
Wow. That's profound.
It is, isn't it? It was an exciting shower, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet.
It was like, the shower that changed everything.
The questions, we ask ourselves lousy questions and we have lousy lives.
Correct. Now, remember, we're not doing this consciously. I want everyone to realize that.
Yeah.
Most people are not walking around consciously saying, why am I so dumb? Why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? But then again, sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. And so the point about the brain and beliefs is that our brain is like an iceberg. I'm sure most of your listeners know this by now and have heard this. You know, that the human brain is like an iceberg. About 5% is visible above the surface, 95% below the surface. The 5% that's above the surface is the conscious mind. This is scientifically proven. This isn't woo-woo. This is science. 5% is conscious, 95% is subconscious. So when you have a conscious thought, that means you have a choice about it. When you have a subconscious thought or belief, that means you have no choice about it. So the point is, most people are fighting the 95 with the 5. Now, when you're fighting the 95 with the 5, which one do you think is going to win? The 95, but only every time. And
exactly.
So many, this is, by the way, this is why diets don't work. This is why diets don't work, because people go on a diet. Let me just say it this way. Here in the United States, I know you're in the UK, Amy. And it's not so bad over there. But here in the United States, of course, we have an obesity problem, right? We have for the first time in human history, most people are overweight. More people are overweight than not overweight. That's never happened before in human history.
Yeah.
Now, is it because people forgot how to eat? Is it because people, you know, changed? No, it's because they weren't taught this, what I'm teaching right now. They weren't taught how to change their beliefs directly. And so how to change their beliefs at all. My point is that most people are doing the outer stuff, but they haven't done the inner stuff. And so when you do the outer without the inner, you're fighting the 95 with the 5. And this is why most people fail at weight loss. Not because they're not capable, but because they haven't changed the inner. And why? Because nobody told them to. Nobody showed them to. That's why I wrote the 10 books that you mentioned, and we're up to 12 books now in 12 languages. But I'm now the only author in history that's had his works published by Hay House, HarperCollins, Mind Valley, Nightingale Conant, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul publisher. So
all that
happened from one idea in the shower.
Gosh. It just makes me think how many sort of shower moments I've had, and some I've acted on, some I haven't acted on, and you sort of brush them off as nonsense. But if you actually take inspired action on them, goodness only knows what can happen. 12 books, 12 languages, Hay House, whatever, what else?
Hay House, HarperCollins, Mind Valley. I'm sure you're familiar with Mind Valley.
Yes.
Nightingale Conan, which is, you know, those two are the world's largest publishers of audio programs. I should say spiritual growth, personal growth audio programs.
Uh-huh.
And then my first book was from the Chicken Soup for the Soul, because Jack Canfield actually is the one who discovered me back in 1998.
Wow.
Because what I want to share with people, one of the reasons I tell that story, Amy, and share that story in my, you know, my live events, my seminars, is I want to do exactly what you just said. I want to inspire people to think about their own lives and go, gee, what are the things that I'm overlooking that I think are just silly that might lead to something great? I mean, the point is, I had no idea what I was doing. I just had this idea in the shower, and I'm like, I think this worked. I think this is right. I had no proof. I had no, and I also didn't have any money, no experience, no, you know, skills. I'd never run an online business. I'd never run any business. I'd never, you know, I was in school as a religious studies major. I was studying, you know, religious studies. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do with my life. And so this whole thing just sort of came to me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this could be something really cool. But now what am I supposed to do? So I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. I got a book on how to do HTML, put up my first website back in 1997. So I've been online for 20 years now. This is my 20th year of being online. It was basically just me and Al Gore back then.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea what I was doing. So I just took one step at a time, and it was just a dream. I just had a dream. And the other thing that I had, Amy, I just had a deep desire to help people, a desire to make a difference, a desire to share this message of hope, of empowerment, of encouragement, of inspiration. It's not about me. It's about this method, this technique that changes lives. And it's so incredibly powerful, and we've got so many incredible stories. When you go to our website, when you go to noahstjohn.com, there's a button that says praise. Just click on that button, the folks listening. Just click on that, and you'll see not only endorsements from the biggest names in the industry, the Jack Canfields, the Harvey McKay, the Stephen Covey, Neil Donald Walsh. I mean, just goes on and on and on, but also from regular everyday people. People who have doubled or tripled their income, people who've lost 100 pounds after trying every diet and exercise program, people who have gone from zero to six figures in less than 6 months. I mean, just incredible, amazing real-life success stories from real people all around the world. And now we're in over 120 countries. People in over 120 countries are studying this, and we call them affirmers. People who are using affirmations, we call ourselves affirmers. And we call it the Affirmations Revolution, because it really is. It's a revolution of thinking, and it's a revolution of action, so that we can change the world at a time when the world desperately needs to learn how to do this.
Gosh, that's amazing. And that definitely comes across in your YouTube videos. I was watching some, so you can – Noah has his own YouTube channel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And his website, as mentioned before, is Noah, is N-O-A-H, Saint, which is S-T, John, J-O-H-N.com. So be sure to go check that out. There is a huge amount of resources on there. And you've also got a free ebook called Get Rid of Your Head Trash. Isn't that correct?
You got it, yes, at NoahStJohn.com. Yes, you can download my new book. Is, as you mentioned, it's called Get Rid of Your Head Trash. And I talk about the three big money mistakes that even smart people make when it comes to attracting and making more money and wealth and abundance. And I call it getting rid of your head trash.
Wow. And how does this head trash, I mean, how would you define the head trash? Limiting beliefs or, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you define it?
Yes, absolutely. And so I was talking a moment ago about the brain, right, and the iceberg, okay? So the human brain is like an iceberg, about 5%. It's above the surface, and meaning that's the conscious mind. That's the conscious – in other words, we humans are conscious of about 5% or less of our thoughts, behaviors, and actions every day. So just think about this. Think about your day, right? From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, how many of the things that you do – in your day are really conscious? most of the things that we do are sub or unconscious, meaning you just don't think about them, right?
Sure.
And this isn't all bad. I mean, this is survival, right? We humans, our brain is meant to just keep us alive. That's the purpose of our brain,
yeah.
So we're not dead, right? And so the point is, it's not like everything we do is bad or wrong, or so I'm not trying to label it. I'm just trying to say, if you're stuck, if you're feeling like you're stuck in any part of your life, whether it's in money, finances, business, relationships, health, you know, your family life, where are you stuck? Okay? And so a lot of the reasons for that stuckness is what I call your head trash. So what is your head trash? Well, in my book, Amy, a person's head trash is that negative self-talk that says, I can't do it because, okay?
Right.
I can't do it because dot, dot, dot. And then you just fill in the dot, 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 okay? I can't do it because. And so, like, in my case, for years, my head trash was, well, I can't do it because I don't have any money. I can't do it because my parents didn't have any money. I can't do it because I didn't grow up in the right household. I don't know the right people. I don't have the right connections, right? But you know, other people might have different head trash. I can't do it because I'm too old. I can't do it because I've made too many mistakes, or I don't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who I can trust, right? So there's tons of I can't do it becauses. But whatever it is, what I want you to know is, everybody listening, is that when you say I can't do it because, you always make yourself right. Think about this for 1 second. This is very powerful. You always make yourself right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I can't. No, you don't understand. That's the other thing I get. Well, you don't understand that.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
like, a
classic.
I've only heard that a million times. Right. No, of course I don't understand. I haven't heard this one before, you know. And so the point is, why is it so important to get rid of your head trash? Well, the bottom line is, because if you don't get rid of your head trash, you're going to stay stuck. You're going to make yourself right, right? So imagine, go back to my example, right? I had this idea in the shower, right? It was 1997. There was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. There was no blogs. There was no social media. I mean, it was 10 years before The Secret came out, right? Remember that movie? It was 10 years before that. So, I mean, there was none of this stuff. Nothing like what we have. I mean, we're talking dial-up. Remember dial-up? That, I mean, come on. Jeez. There was nothing, nothing. And there was no print-on-demand. You know, now you can write a book and have it up in like 2 hours on Amazon. Come on. There was nothing. And back then, Amazon was a river in South America. Come on. I mean, so anyway, my point is, I had lots of reasons I couldn't do it, right? Oh, I don't have any money. I don't have any connections. I don't know how to run a business. I don't know how to write a book. I don't understand anything about the book publishing. I don't know anything. All I had was a dream. But I also had, because a lot of people have dreams. But what did I also do? I also had this just stupid, crazy, idiotic, nuts belief that I could do it somehow. You know? This crazy belief that somehow, if I just kept taking some action, I could do it. So do you understand, sometimes you have to be crazy to do this stuff. Sometimes you have to be a little nuts, you know? But, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, quotations out there about people who were, you know, crazy and made, you know, change the world. Steve Jobs, I think, would be a great example of that.
Exactly.
But anyway, you get my point. I mean, the point is, my whole career in these last two decades has been to help people. I'm just on a mission, as you said earlier, Amy. You know, I am on a mission. I mean, our stated mission at my company, successclinic.com, is to help 10,000 small business owners double their performance and profits. And so what we mean by that is helping people with their inner life as well as their outer life.
Yeah,
right? Performance is all about your inner life, your habits, your thoughts, your beliefs. Your outer life is all about, you know, the business stuff, the selling, the strategies, marketing, and websites, all those, you know, kind of things that you have to do. You have to do both of these things. You can't just do one. You have to do both.
Yeah.
But that's why, you know, I tell these stories. Like we had one woman, Susan, from California. She heard me. In fact, she heard me on a show just like this. And a friend, you know, told her about me. And she said, wow, she just said, Noah, you know, your story really resonated with me. And so she went to my website, checked it out, and she, you know, got our my affirmations program, started studying it. Now, I was able to talk to her, you know, as she was going through this process. And she said that she was 60, when she first heard about me, she was $60,000 in debt.
Wow.
$60,000 in credit card debt. But guess where that credit card debt had come from? Buying $60,000 worth of self-help programs.
Oh, no.
You can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. At least I can't. The point is, she had spent all that money on all the big-name gurus, all the famous dudes, and she was not only stuck, but she was about to go bankrupt. She was about to declare bankruptcy. She was about to lose her home. She was about to lose her marriage because her husband said, I can't take this anymore. You're buying all this stuff. It's supposed to help us, and we're going down. He says, I can't take it anymore. So he was going to leave her. So she was literally at her wit's end. And she just, you know, she said, no, I heard you, and a friend told me about you, and just, you know, I just had to get, you know, your book and your online program. I mean, it was like the last thing. It was like, this is it. If this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she just, she read it, went through the program, started to use affirmations, just, you know, in the way that I lay it out, and the affirmations method, the affirmation system. Anyway, long story short, she started to change. And she said, wow, at first the changes are slow, and then they started to accelerate, get a little faster, a little more, a little better, a little more. Long story short, Amy, in less than 6 months, she was offered her dream job. She is now a Emmy-nominated television producer. She's a TV producer of a national TV show. She's been nominated for an Emmy twice. She has a six-figure income, and she's just published her first book. So from $60,000 in debt to a six-figure income in less than a year. And that happened by changing her beliefs and taking inspired action.
Gosh, that is just incredible. So for anybody listening out there, if anybody has a question for Noah, you can call the following number if you're in the States, which is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you're outside the States, feel free to message me on Facebook, and I will ask Noah your questions. Now, I like to ask my guests the most favorite inspirational song, and you've chosen It's My Life by Bon Jovi. So I'd love to play the song because I love the song too. And afterwards, we'll delve into why this is so special for you and answer any questions if we have any. So here we go. Here's It's My Life by Bon Jovi.
Tommy, come take out the garbage.
In a minute, Mom. Hello?
Where are you?
You're
what?
Missing it.
Get down here right now.
Where are you?
We're in the tunnel.
You have 5 minutes.
Get down here right now.
Okay.
Hurry.
Broken-hearted, a silent prayer for 50-footed.
just love that song. It's so, it just really gets you so fired up. And when you listen to those lyrics and it's, I just want to live whilst I'm alive. And, you know, it's now or never. It's really like that moment in the shower when it's, you're just waking up, you've got this idea and you're like, it's now or never.
By the way, if you want to have a good laugh, everybody listening, just Google Noah St. John, It's My Life, and there's a video of me singing that song, or singing, lip syncing that song. So it's like, it's kind of like karaoke, but I'm sitting there, I'm actually at an amusement park, and that song came on the loudspeakers, and I'm like, this is just too good. I got to film this, because I'm like, I was just sitting there. And so if you want to have a good laugh, just Google that. Noah St. John, It's My Life, and you'll have a good laugh.
That's hysterical. So why that song? Why did you choose that one for this show?
Well, it's like you just said, Amy. I mean, the lyrics really do speak to me, you know, and they really – one of the things that he says, not only is that I just want to live while I'm alive, but I love that line where he says, luck ain't even luck. You got to make your own breaks.
Yeah.
And I love that one. Luck ain't even luck.
So true.
You know, because a lot of people talk about luck. And listen, I've had a lot of luck in my life and in my career. Like I got a lucky break when I met Jack Canfield at an event, a networking event. Well, actually, it was an award ceremony. He was winning an award. But it wasn't really luck because I had researched it, done my homework. I happened to know the guy that worked there at the University of Massachusetts. I had to get in my car and go talk to him. I basically rushed into his office. I said, John, can you introduce me to Jack Canfield? And he said, sure, he'll be here at 11. If you're here at 11, I'll introduce you. I got to, you know, I had my self-published book at the time. This was back in 1998, and I had seen in the paper that Jack was going to be there, and so it was literally 10 minutes from where I was living, so I jumped in my car, went to see my friend over at the University of Massachusetts, where Jack, he's an alum, and that's where he's winning the award, and John introduced me, he was good to his word, and Jack was so nice and very gracious. I said, you know, Mr. Canfield, I'm a huge fan, and I had the self-published book, I was wondering if you'd look at it, and just tell me what you think, and he just took a few seconds, looked at it, and he said, yeah, this looks good. I'll send it to my publisher. And eight weeks later, the Chicken Soup for the Soul publisher, the owner, called me and said, no, we'd like to publish your book. So that's how I got my very first book published. And, I mean, so was that luck? Absolutely. But did I make that happen? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's, again, I share that story to inspire people and say, where's the luck right now? And you're like, what's the opportunity right now, today in your life?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we, you know, that's one of the reasons that we have, you know, so many, as you mentioned a moment ago, I mean, you know, so many free resources at noahstjohn.com, because I know what it's like to not have two nickels to rub together and be struggling and saying, gosh, if I could just get a lucky break, you know, well, we want to give that lucky break to people. We also, I mean, of course, I work with multimillionaire CEOs as well, but, you know, not everybody's there. But, I mean, I work from, you know, everybody from teenagers, kids, moms, dads, CEOs, salespeople, real estate, chiropractors, professionals. It really doesn't matter, because when you think about it, where don't your habits affect your life? Where don't your beliefs affect your life? They affect everything, and they affect everybody equally.
Yeah. Wow. So that was It's My Life by Bon Jovi. And as you all know, you can head on over to iTunes and download it there. Now, Noah, I just want to come back to the woman you were talking about before we played the song, who went from 60 grand in debt to a six-figure salary. Because a question just came into my mind as we were listening to It's My Life, and I was wondering what happened in her relationship, because I know that money, at least I've seen this in my, you know, with my clients as well, is that money... When you're speaking to potential clients, money is always sort of the first objection. But in relationships, I've always seen that money apparently causes a lot of stresses and strains. But actually, when you dig a little deeper, it's not. It's the first layer, but it's not really the impulse. or the origin of the cause. So I'm just wondering, did you know, was that something that played out in her relationship?
Oh, absolutely. And it, as you correctly say, it plays out in every relationship. So when you go to our website, when you go to Noah St. John, you can also click on the media button. And you'll see that I have many interviews on TV and radio and so forth. And one of the interviews that I do, one of the topics that a lot of people interview me about is how couples can stop fighting about money. Because
right.
money is the number one cause of divorce.
Yeah.
In America anyway, and you know, I'm guessing probably many other countries as well, but certainly here in the United States, it is the number one cause of divorce. But what I say is, that money doesn't change anything. Money reveals everything.
Ah, that's a brilliant way of putting it. I love it.
Yes. And so the point is, you know, you said it basically that, yeah, it's money, but it really isn't money. Okay. Money
yeah.
is the thing that's easy to argue about, but it's not money. Money reveals everything. So when you're having money issues, and then you start to see that you're having a strain and problems in your relationship or your marriage, well, then you can bet that it isn't about the money, okay? It's about the thing that's underneath it. So, you know, one of the things that I counsel my clients to do, you know, who come to me with money issues, is, first of all, look at your money spending habits. And look at how you and your partner view money. For most couples, they view money very differently. So, for example, one person views money as safety and security. The other views money as something to spend and have a lot of fun with. Right? And so if you're having money problems, then it's not the money, but it's how you're using money. Remember, money is like electricity. It's just there. Right, you can use electricity to make some toast or burn your house down. It's the same
yeah.
thing. It's the same energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all on how we use it.
Amazing. Okay. So my next question is coming back to the limiting beliefs and the head trash.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
is this different specifically from what we've been taught about the law of attraction? Because I know, I think my listeners will have mm-hmm. tapped into and heard of the law of attraction quite a lot. So how are you,
sure.
how is it different and how do you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so as I mentioned, I discovered affirmations 10 years before The Secret. Okay, so you'll mm-hmm. also notice when you go to my website that everybody in The Secret endorses my work, right? So all those guys are friends of mine. I mean, they all, you know, endorse me. Now, in the Secret, which, of course, was just brilliant marketing, the reason that we all know what The Secret is was that it was perfect packaging, perfect
yeah.
positioning, and perfect
yeah.
promotion. Those are the
yeah.
three things you need to do in marketing, packaging, positioning, and promotion. And so no one had ever done it that way before back then. If you remember back, this was 2006, so it's 10 years
yep.
ago now.
I remember
But, you know, back then it was, oh, yeah. I mean, it took over the world, took over the Internet. I mean, you know, and then, of course, the airwaves after it went on Oprah. And so the point is that what they said in The Secret was, if you just think about money, money will fall from the sky. Well, that sounds great. Hey, who doesn't want that, right? I mean, so it was brilliant because it's what we all want to hear. Right, we all want to hear that there's a celestial Santa Claus.
Awesome.
Right? You just think about money. Hey, money comes in.
Yeah.
My favorite guy in that movie is the guy who said, "Well, I just think about getting checks in the mail, and I get checks in the mail." That's my favorite. I believe he was put up on charges of something later, but that's another story. Anyway, so whenever we go to the post office. You know, I go to the post office and I get checks in the mail. I always call my wife and go, "Honey, I got checks in the mail." I can't do that. Sorry. I'm just bad. But anyway, I'm like, gee, wouldn't that be nice if we just think about money and money comes in? You just get checks in the mail.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not sure what planet that works on, but it ain't the Earth, because on planet Earth, we have to do this annoying thing called work to get the result that we want. See, so what is truth is unsexy, right? How sexy is it to say, well, you have to do work. You have to, you know, do put in the effort if you're... No, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear everything about it. I made money. Come on, man. Who wants, you know, so they did a brilliant, brilliant job. Now, by the way, everybody in The Secret, every one of those teachers, you know, John Gray, Jack Canfield, Neil Donald, all these guys who endorsed me, they are perfectly aware of what I'm saying, and they totally agree with me. I mean, duh, they're not stupid. They know that you have to work. Not one of them just sat around and said, oh, I think I'll think about money and make money. Not one of them ever did that. So the point is, what they taught us was what we wanted to hear, which is what I just said. So is there a law of attraction? Of course there is. Of course there's a law of attraction. But what we do at successclinic.com, we just prefer to say the law of sowing and reaping.
Yeah,
because
that makes so much
number
sense.
Number one, that's an ancient law, right? I mean, it's been taught for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
As you sow, so shall you reap. This is nothing new, right? So that's number one. Number two, we all get it. We all get that you have to sow and then you reap. Everybody understands that. And then when I say, what are we sowing? Well, we're sowing seeds of thought. I think everybody also intuitively understands the truth of that message. And so it is true that if you sow lousy thought seeds, you will get lousy results, like my life was for the first 30 years. I sowed lousy thought seeds like I am not enough, because that's what I was told and shown. I'm not good enough. That's all I sowed, was that nothing I do will ever be good enough. I was a National Merit Scholar. I skipped eighth grade. I graduated second in my class. I had full scholarships to college, and nothing I did was ever enough.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons that I became suicidal at 25. At 25 years old, I decided to commit suicide. I didn't attempt it. I decided to do it. It was a done deal.
Wow.
And I share that story in the book of Affirmations about the miracle that happened at the very last moment that spared my life. And I made a commitment at that time, back in 1993, to devote the rest of my life to serving God, who I felt saved me at the last moment. Now, that's the beauty of that, like I said a moment ago, is that whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Whether it's true or false doesn't make any difference. Just like I fooled myself that I could do this, that I could have books and a website and, you know, a multi-million dollar, seven-figure business working from home when I had no reason to think that I could do any of that. So, again, that's my purpose, Amy, is to inspire the folks listening, I hope, to realize, hey, if this guy can do it, then I can do it too.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's huge, and I'm sure people who are perhaps feeling in that zone can hear this and resonate with what we've been talking about. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow. So what are three massive mistakes that even smart people make when it comes to reaching their goals?
All right. Well, so remember, you can read those in the book, Get Rid of Your Head Trash, for free. Remember, it's free. I'm not selling anything here. NoahSaintJohn.com. Just go download that book free. But very, very briefly, because I know we're getting short on time here, the first big mistake is unconscious money blocks, which I call your head trash. So we talked a lot about your head trash, and I talked about what it is and why it's so important that you get rid of it. So it's really crucial that you understand where is your head trash around money and then take steps to get rid of it. The second big mistake that I see even smart people making is not having a mentor, trying to do everything alone. A mentor is someone who's been where you want to go and can show you how to get where you want to go. So this is so crucial, and this is a big part of my business, because so many people come to me, like Susan, who's spent tens of thousands of dollars on everything else, and they're still stuck. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that is in this industry, there's a lot of very successful people, great marketers, people who are great at marketing, and they're great at marketing themselves specifically. And so what they do is they say, well, I'm rich. I'm successful. Here's my car. Here's my Rolex. Here's my boat. Here's my house, you know. And it's like, wow, I want to be that guy. But what happens, the sucky thing, is that they're so great at marketing, but they suck at teaching how to do what they did. So either they don't want to do it, because, of course, if they showed you, then it would stop working, right? Or they just are sucky teachers. So it's either one of those two things. And so the point is, you've got to find a mentor, number one, who's successful, because, of course, you don't want to follow some guy in a van down by the river. I get that. But the second point, which is even more important, is have they helped anyone else? Or is it all just about themselves? And so, you know, that's one of the reasons. When you go to noahstjohn.com and click on that praise button, you'll see dozens and dozens and dozens of stories from real people from all walks of life, chiropractors, real estate people, salespeople, radio personalities, I mean, celebrities. It just goes on and on and on. So the point is, you've got to find a mentor, number one, who is where you want to go. That's important. They should, of course, be successful in what you want to do. And also, more importantly, most importantly, they can actually show you how to get there. And then the third most important big mistake that I see people making is gathering too much information without giving yourself permission to succeed. Gathering too much information, being on information overload. When we talk with people, we talk to people from over 100 countries, like I was saying, and the number one thing that we're hearing over and over is, Noah, I'm on overwhelm. I'm totally overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. I just don't know where to start. There's too much information. So, you know, one of the analogies we like to use is, if you saw someone drowning, would you throw them a glass of water? That's what most people are doing, because we're all drowning in information, aren't we? We're literally drowning in information. There's too much, far too much.
Yeah.
But yet most entrepreneurs, most of the professional people that we meet, that we talk to, that I coach, are literally drowning in information and yet unwittingly starving themselves of success. So at the same time they're drowning in information, they're starving themselves of success. This is something that I, you know, wrote about 20 years ago. Not the information overwhelm, because that was right at the very beginning of the information overload age, 1997, when I've been online for 20 years. I really didn't know how bad it was going to get. But I was the first person to write about starving yourself of success. That's why I called my first book, Permission to Succeed. It's not about more how-tos. It's about actually giving yourself permission to succeed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, literally, if you'll forgive the phrase, I wrote the book on the subject, and then I wrote 10 more. So the point is that you've got to look at your goals. Where is it you want to go? What is it you're doing right now? Are you gathering too much information without implementation? Because what we say on our campus all the time is there's no lack of information, but there's a definite lack of implementation.
So very true, Noah. Thank you. So I have one last question for you.
Yes.
And that is, what is, given that this is the Being Brilliant radio show focusing on the being of human being, not the doing of human doing. What is being brilliant for you?
Well, I mean, being brilliant really to me is about two things. Number one, knowing who you are, knowing who you really are. That's right there is a huge thing.
It's huge.
And then the second, that can take, you know, a long time for many of us, sort of did for me. So knowing who you really are, and then the second part is adding value to as many lives as possible. All right, so a lot of people come to me and they're stuck, and they go, no, you know, I want to make more money, and I want to, you know, reach more people, I want to have a bigger impact, I want to, you know, make a difference in people's lives. And I say, great, you know, so what is it, what's your offer, what are you offering people, what's the value you're bringing? They go, I don't know. And the point is that if you don't know the value you're adding to others, how can you possibly have other people value you?
Yeah.
The answer is you can't. And so, yes, it's crucial that you know who you really are. That's the first step, the first stage. But then you have to take steps to add value to as many lives as possible. And that's my goal here, you know, for the rest of my time here on Earth, is to add as much value as I can to as many lives as possible while I'm here.
Amazing. Thank you so very much. It's been a huge joy to have you on the show. Thank you also to all of our listeners. Being brilliant is knowing who you are and adding value to other people's lives, according to Noah St. John. So thank you so much. This is the 24th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show with Amy Hackett-Jones, where you can find me at www.amyhackett.com. Noah St. John was my brilliant guest, and you can find him at noahstjohn.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Go out there and be your brilliant selves, everyone. And until next time, ciao for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.